Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter, The Doctor's Opinion. We are on page XXV. And we're reading the fifth paragraph that begins with, I personally know, all the way through four paragraphs ending with Dr. William D. Silkworth, MD. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, July 28th, is 15068. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 15068. And I gave you the wrong number for yesterday. Yesterday's meeting was 15060. So for Tuesday at 10 a.m., July 28th, 15060. And this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 729, is 15068. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois. Here are the 12 steps. We admitted, number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service this month. I pass.
Thank you so much, Phyllis D. And I'll now ask Lisa E.S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure being of service this month. Lisa E.S. recovered in Northern California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Grateful and pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa E.S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXV in the doctor's opinion. We're starting on the 5th paragraph, which begins with, I personally know, reading through the rest of the letter, and I will ask Kathy Jo P. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. I personally know scores of cases who were of the type with whom other methods had failed completely. These facts appear to be of extreme medical importance because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. They may mark a new epoch in the annals of alcoholism. These men may well have a remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D. So, Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, and I bet that when William D. Silkworth wrote this, he never dreamed. It's probably not thousands, it's probably millions of such situations that have a remedy for such a situation. And in the middle of all of that, I am so grateful that I, for one, am one of those people that got a remedy that's described in this Big Book for my situation, for my problem, for my malady, for my disease. And I am so grateful for that every day of my life. And where it says, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves, there's, you know, just hearing from another fellow that the desire will be removed, that I will be abstinent contently, that I will be at peace with my fellows, my families, that I will possibly lose 100 pounds, that I will possibly not purge anymore and not have the desire to do that. We hear these stories from each other about transformation and complete psychic changes that happen by doing this work, and we rely on the experience of others. I remember when I was struggling, and I was struggling, and I struggled for the first 4 years after a 22-year relapse. I struggled with certain foods that I didn't want to put down, and one of those was alcohol. I wanted to make alcohol work for me. And as I struggled with that, or in my marriage, because my husband's got his own addictions, a fellow would say to me, "You are going to have a story to share that's going to make a difference to so many." And now here I am, way happier than I've ever been in my life, in my marriage, in my body, in myself. I go to bed not hating my life, hating myself, hating others. And you have to believe me that it happened for me. And, I mean, nothing can make us believe that, but just getting that flicker of hope that things can be different is what we bring to the line every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P., for getting us started on this important reading today. Now, I want to announce that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to comment on this reading?
Larry G.
I Cheryl A. Larry G., Kara L.,
Penny L.C.
A. Hang on just a second, Penny. Penny L.C. Got room for two more?
Santa H.
Santa H. Got Larry G., Kara L., Cheryl A., Penny L.C., Santa H., and one more?
Kathy G.
Kathy G. Okay, that's a great lineup. So, Larry G., we're starting with you, and then you'll be followed by Kara L. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry G. from Northern California. Well, he signs it, yours truly, very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D. I continue to be astonished at how just reading one of these paragraphs a day has been a game changer in my abstinence. Who knows a public figure today that would put their name and endorse something, and not only endorse something that has a very small sample size, 100 people who have recovered, or somebody who endorsed something that would not yield them any money. This man puts his name on the line and admits that the medical profession knows very little. I'm so grateful for this man that many people say that he was the third founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. Where we would be without Dr. Silkworth, who has so brilliantly outlined the problem. When I came to this fellowship in May 17, 2020, I was a goner. I couldn't stop eating. I've been around OA for 30 years. I've had some success. But I'd been a chronic relapser. And when I started getting on this call, it says that you can rely on these folks absolutely. And when I got on this call, the first couple times, I was just chills up and down my neck because I felt I'd come home. And people were introducing themselves as recovered. I'm 39 years of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've read this doctor's opinion hundreds of times, but I never read it through the eyes of a compulsive eater, and it has changed my life. May 17th is my date. It is sacred as August 2nd, my sobriety date. I want to thank you, Elaine, for your service and everybody in this call who's been a inspiration to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G., and congratulations on both. So, Kara L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Cheryl A. Please go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, I do love the doctor's opinion. I think I say that every time I pitch, though, so whatever we're on. it just spoke so much to my soul this morning. You know, I personally know scores of cases who were the type with whom other methods had failed completely. Gosh, what a miracle. You know, these, if we think back to these alcoholics who were destined for death, a horrible death, or the insane asylum. And here's a medical doctor seeing something in their lives that is working. And the hope and the possibility. And I know for me, you know, I felt like that case that other methods had failed completely. You know, everything that I could do failed. And it wasn't until that I could let go and see that the abundance of my higher power, to really trust that a spiritual awakening was my answer, and to do the work of these steps so that I could clear away the roadblocks that were in my path, that I got, you know, this beautiful miracle. And when he says you can trust anything they say about themselves, I think, how incredible is that? These were men that everybody had written off. And here's a prominent doctor saying, no, you can trust them. The difference from death and insanity to trustworthy people. You know, that's what I want in my life. That insanity that I brought into my life. That slow march towards death with weight and health that I brought into my life. To be that person today that people say, no, you can trust what they say. Look how it is worked. I want my actions and service to show, you know, how that this program has worked in my life. I realize today that my higher power sees everything, and I only see a pinprick of this world. And so when I look through my pinprick and I make decisions, they don't usually go well. But when I just sit back and I reach for my higher power who can see everything, and I go with the flow, with the intuitive thought, with the inspiration that is put into my mind, then everything is possible. Everything is possible today. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That made me say, ah. Okay. Sarah Lee, you're up next, followed by Penny L. C.
Hi, this is Cheryl A., recovered compulsive overeater in Brookline, Massachusetts. And I'm just so happy to be reading this with everyone and reflecting on the incredible bravery and humility that Dr. Silkworth had so many years ago. It really is remarkable to think about the time that he wrote this. And when he first was asked to write a letter, he wouldn't sign his name because, I mean, it was a big deal to come out with this kind of a statement, which was completely against what the medical establishment thought about alcoholism at the time. And then here he is now saying, these facts appear to be of extreme medical importance because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. They may mark a new epoch in the annals of alcoholism. Like, wow, that is just so... That's like a prophet speaking back then, right? It marked a miracle that began to unfold over all of these years. AA, OA, all the A's. Like, I am a recovered woman as a result of this man having had the humility back then to go against the medical establishment to make this statement. And he said, we can rely on anything they say about themselves. Wow. Like, for a doctor to say that, like back then, even now, like doctors are the authorities, but when we rely, that means we can depend with full confidence or trust. That's what it means, full confidence and trust. I can depend on with complete confidence. And today, I've been in this program for 32 years, and my dependence on the 12 steps becomes greater every day. I have tried everything there is known in existence, with some surgical exceptions, to control and manage and deal not only with my food and body, but with all of the other tributaries of behaviors and manifestations of this disease, from how I manage my time, my energy, my money, my relationships, the way that I think. I have done everything there is to do, and yet I go back to the simplest, least expensive mode, which is to rely on what these original heroes said so long ago about how to recover from this particular disease, which is just 12 steps and an idea to be able to and willing to share how it works with other people over and over and over. And as I teach these steps to others, I reteach them at deeper levels to myself. And today, I get to go to deeper levels of emotional and spiritual recovery. And it is such a joy to feel the sun on my face today and not be trapped in my head about not wanting to be out there in the world like everybody else.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a safe and healthy and happy and recovered or recovering day today. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl A. Penny LC, you are up next, and you're followed by Santa H.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And grateful to be able to say I'm recovered today, and grateful that this doctor was a part of that recovery process for me to be able to understand my disease, to understand that there was a remedy, a treatment. I could find a solution. And for him to be able to give his professional endorsement, you know, here he was, an expert in the field, having dealt with hundreds of cases, and yet understanding the malady, also knowing that he didn't have a full solution, and yet he's endorsing this book and this fellowship and these founders that did have a solution. Grateful that that solution has worked for me today. And when I first came to hear it, I felt like I heard that truth. And I felt like I could rely on these people because they were telling me that what the answer was. They weren't keeping it to themselves. And it wasn't just a matter of their physical change. It was a matter of their mental, emotional, and spiritual change. You could hear the difference in their voices. And that's the one thing that to me resonates so well on these phone meetings, because we can't see each other. We don't see that physical recovery, but we can trust it because we can hear the peace and serenity and objectivity and the truth that we hear. And somehow that resonated with me the same way that Dr. Silkworth's truth resonated with so many back then and continues to. And I am grateful to have heard it and to be able to pass it on to others. And if you're new with us today, just have that hope and have that trust that you are hearing the honest truth that works. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Santa H, you are up next, followed by Kathy G. And then we'll take another lineup on the fifth paragraph on page XXV, starting with, I personally know, and ending with four paragraphs later with Dr. William D. Silkworth, MD. Please go ahead, Santa H.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, living in the solution one day at a time, calling in from New Jersey. The doctor's opinion, his opinion is extremely paramount in explaining a portion of what the problem is, the analogy to the body and the mental obsession that gets us ready to do these 12 steps. without putting the food down, I you know, the rest of the book wouldn't make any sense to me. He says I personally know scores of people. I mean, that's an incredible amount of people who other methods have failed. And I can identify into this by saying that I have tried a few other methods and they have failed. I'm thankful that I didn't have to try too many before I came into this program. And the fact that this is extreme medical importance, it really is. It talks about, this whole chapter talked about, you know, the allergy of the body and mental obsession, which is paramount. I can only imagine back then, which is to an extent today, but not as much as it was back in 1930s, 5s, and 40s, where the opinions of doctors was like E.F. Hutton. When doctors spoke, people listened. And so it was important to get a letter written by a doctor, and then truly important that the doctor stood by his beliefs and allowed went through what he needed to go through in order for this here to endorse his name on the letter. So grateful for that. And, you know, so he saw the explosion with his own eye. He wasn't a compulsive overeater. He didn't understand how the process worked because he wasn't one of us. But he did understand that what he saw was a pattern of people. Some people came in and got recovered, and some kept coming back and forth and didn't. And so he's seen thousands of people in such situations, him and his team. That's amazing, and it's still going on today. And to rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves, I mean, that is incredible, because before I was recovered, you couldn't rely on what I said. I was a liar, I was a cheater, I was a manipulator, and what I said was not always accurate information about myself. I didn't even know myself when I was in the food. You know, now in program, I'm honest, and I know myself. I believe in myself, and I believe my higher power sending me the words to say to other people. And through my experience, not through my suggestions, not through my demands, but through my experience, strength, and hope, others are able to walk this process as I hold up that lantern, and higher power shines that light on for them to see. And walk through this process and have their own experience of these.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you, Lee. And with that, okay. I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. Okay, Kathy T., you're up next, and then we'll take a lineup. Let me remind you again that we're on page XXV, paragraph 5, which begins with I personally know, reading through 4 paragraphs and ending with Dr. William D. Silkworth, MD, and we're commenting on all 4 paragraphs. Please go ahead, Kathy G.
All right. Good morning, Elaine. Thanks so much. Nice to hear your voice. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater in Illinois on this beautiful summer morning. Grateful to be here. And grateful to hear yet again the wisdom of Dr. Silkworth. And I was thinking this morning, I'm just in a lot of gratitude today, feeling a lot of peace today and a lot of balance today. And what a gift that is. I was on a prayer call this morning, and I looked over, and I've been growing this big pot, these tomatoes. And these tomatoes, as I'm listening to Dr. Silkworth's insight this morning, I thought, you know what? Without really understanding this physical allergy and mental obsession, I don't think that I would have these tomatoes here right now, because as funny as that sounds, if I ingest M&Ms or any of my addictive substances, I am not present for the consistency that it takes to have an abundant tomato plant. And today there's 2 big tomatoes that are just about ready to fall off. And there's all these little baby tomatoes ready to just, you know, ripen that are around it. And it gives me a picture of just the gift and the joy of the good fruit that comes forth where every day, you know, we wake up and we take certain actions and we do certain things to bring forth this good fruit. And what a joy it is, because then it gets to multiply and shoot out and more is produced. One of my great joys is, like, I'm sponsoring someone right now who is such a gift in my life. Just to watch her bloom and transform, and to watch her show up daily, and just to surrender to the process and show up and to do the work in the face of some circumstances that are really, really difficult. So just incredibly grateful to be alive during this time when we have this 12-step recovery program, and that we get to participate in being these good fruit bearers. We get to receive and we get to give back. So just grateful to be part of the community today. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy G. So who would be interested in reading on the doctor's opinion? Page check D, paragraph 5. I personally know
That's
all the
e.
way through the end. Oops, I'm sorry.
Roz G.
Okay, I heard Roz G.
G.
Michelle.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to stop. I heard a bunch of names at the beginning, and then I didn't get them. So I have Roz G. on the list, and who else would like to share?
E-G. Elaine G.
Okay, I heard Elaine G. And somebody,
Patty
G.
Deb E.
Patty T. And Bev. Dev E.
Margaret N.
D. Margaret N.
Michelle J.
I'm not sure if I have time for Michelle J., but we'll give it a try. So I've got Roz G., Elaine G., Patty T., Dev E., Margaret N., and Michelle J., if there is time. So please go ahead, Roz, and you are followed by Elaine G.
Good morning. I'm in my garden this morning picking ripe tomatoes. But okay, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I want to say that I thank God for a Vision for You phone meeting, because this meeting, this sponsorship, this ethic of study has given me my recovery, my abstinence. I found my abstinence through this means through this meeting. And I take my sponsees through the doctor's opinion. When years ago, I wouldn't have given two rat's butts about the doctor's opinion. And it is so vital. It is so vital to my recovery. And it says here that people whose other means failed, but not just failed utterly. And I think of the pills, Metabolift, Metabolite, Metaba this, Metaba that, Xenadrin this, Jenny Craig, diet pills, diet centers, library books, my heroes that Bill's, you know, Bill's heroes. Well, my heroes were the Billy Blanks, and I'm sorry to mention these names, but I'm making it real. Those are the people who I admired: workout gurus, diet book authors, Dr. Phil and Oprah. Those were the people that were, you know, that all the means that I tried, and each of them failed utterly. And while these are, I'm sure they're wonderful people, successful people, they couldn't hold a candle to my disease. And the doctor's opinion tells me what is wrong with me. And it's vital to my recovery. And so I can't imagine not starting reading that that chapter with a new person. So I say thank you to A Vision for You. And I rely on the recovered people's voices that I hear. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever I started here, I think it's probably about 4 years with Vision meetings, I would hear a couple of voices that are very recognizable at 4 a.m., half asleep, hearing them talk and talk and talk. And a couple of years later, I get to meet them face to face at the convention. I get to hug them. I get to text with them today, and I get to see them through other means on computer. So, you know, I know who they are, and we're friends. This is a beautiful thing. I'm so grateful for it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Raj G. Elaine G., you are up next, and you're followed by Patty T. Please go ahead, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. I am so grateful for this meeting, really. I mean, I compulsively overate. And, you know, I mean, I went to my podiatrist. I was angry at him because my thoughts weren't ready. But anyway, having to do with the chapter, starting from the beginning there and through, Silkworth there, that if it wasn't for moral psychology, as I talk about here, I read it last night, and I guess I'm jumping ahead, but just that, our mind is just as sick as our body, right now for me. And, leave it to my own self, I do all the wrong things. I mean, I'm trying to think, yesterday I was angry. Here I am going into IHOP. I was just going to have sit down and have fruit. Before you know it, I ended up eating like a second breakfast. I wasn't really, I didn't feel like I was social distancing too close and too far away. But I didn't care. I was in my glory eating the 55 and up. What they had on the menu there. And, it was dangerous. I took a risk. All because of my disease. I let my disease take hold of me. Just like, as I talk about the phenomenon of craving, I thought, I'll do this. I'll forget about being angry and this and that. But then I realized when I got home that, the damage was done already. But I spoke to a couple of people from Vision for You, and one woman said to me, "You're not ready. You're not willing. You're not ready." And I was into the stinking thinking and everything else there. And then I said to myself, I didn't do my prayers. I didn't do my meditations. I didn't pray. I didn't do the work. And, my sponsor, Big Book sponsor, said, you want to come back to me, you have to read the doctor's opinion. So I read it, like I said, yesterday. And it can't hurt to read it again, let me tell you. So this will be the fourth time. But, I need to drill it in my head. And so she wants me to have 3 days abstinence. And I want to do it anyway. So, I did my prayers. I read the doctor's opinion. I did everything I need to do. And everybody else that called me, they have to wait. Because my abstinence and my recovery comes first. People got angry. Who cares? Told them to call them back. This comes first. It really comes first, I realize. I mean, this affects my life. It affects my mental health.
Just a reminder?
Yeah, I'm about to wrapping up. It affects my life and my mental health and my physical health. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine G. Patty T., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dev E.
Hi, thank you, Elaine, for your service. And hello, everybody. This is Patty T., recovered today by the grace of God from Southern California. When I read this line, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. The fact that that's coming from a medical professional, a doctor who, most people revere as knowledgeable and honest and truthful is really an amazing thing. My own experience is that I didn't know how to tell the truth about anything before program. Particularly before coming into vision 2 years ago. I didn't know the truth from the false, and it says that in the big book. You know, I couldn't discern the difference. I lived in a fantasy world and was ruled by my intentions. You know, I intended to send that birthday card or that congratulations gift card, but I never did, okay? And that was the way I lived. I lived that way for 51 years until I came into the rooms. And then I had 5 years of back-to-back abstinence, and then I relapsed for 6 years, chronic relapse, relapse after relapse after relapse. And that was the process by which I became acquainted with my ego, that thing in my mind that says, I rule and I dictate what you do. And, you know, we've all learned in program that ego means edging God out. And it wasn't until I completely surrendered to my own higher power and said, I don't care. I don't care if I ever lose a pound. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I can't think or live this way any longer. And then 2 weeks later, I got on these vision meetings after being abstinent for 2 weeks. And the clarity that I received from hearing the message day after day from all of you and from this big book, studying this book, particularly this chapter, this doctor's opinion, which taught me what the allergy looks and feels like and what the obsession of the mind is. That explained the problem. Just like Bill, I learned what the problem was.
Gentle
and then
reminder.
Just like Ebby, and I'll wrap up, just like Ebby told Bill, I was able to find the solution in a higher power. And I thank you all so much. I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you too, Patty T. Debbie, you are up next. And Margaret N., you'll be our last share today.
Good morning. This is Deb E., recovered in Southern California. And this first line, you know, that a lot of people are commenting on, I personally know scores of cases who were of the type with whom other methods had failed completely. It's not, you know, he's not saying, I've heard of a lot of people for whom, you know, other solutions didn't work. I've heard so many stories. As many of us, have met so many people in OA, you know, face-to-face, and who have the same story. They tried, you know, countless diets, countless exercise programs, and nothing worked until we tried the steps. And then I was just looking and noticing all the big words. I love how the big book uses, like, very big words for emphasis. And you know, just going through it, extreme medical importance, extraordinary possibilities, epic annals of alcoholism, a remedy for thousands, you know. And I was just looking up, I've been trained by the step study I'm in to always like look up the meanings of different words, and which is very humbling because I'm like, oh, I understand what they're saying. But whenever I look up the definition, I get more out of it. So I like doing that. And, annals are historical records. And epic is a period of time in history or a person's life, typically one marked by notable events or particular characteristics. So this was, you know, a really, really big moment in the history of alcoholism and understanding it better. And the last sentence, you know, you may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves, this endorsement from Dr. Silkworth. And it just reminds me again how humble he was. You know, he's not saying you can rely on me. He's saying you can rely on them. Like, I've heard their stories and this works. They've got something here that works. And it's really, you know, it's called the doctor's opinion. It's not called the doctor's way or the doctor's last word or the doctor's 12 steps, right? He's just there to say that as a doctor, yeah, he sees how this works. He sees how this is not just a question of getting answers from science. There's something much bigger here, and it requires a spiritual component, and that's the key to all this. And to have a man of science say that and say it so publicly, for it to be published in a book that, you know, has become such an important text.
It's just a reminder.
Thank you. I'll wrap up. I feel like that humility, that kind of humility, isn't that often seen. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dev N. And Margaret N., you will be our last share for today. I'm sorry, Michelle J., we're not going to have time to hear from you today. But please go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. And thank you all for being on this line. It's in our reading today, it is that last line that really stands out to me. And when I speak with a recovered fellow, I do hear the peace and the serenity and the objectivity in their voices. They've worked through their crap and they've figured out how to access their God of their understanding that they can rely on. And one thing that a recovered fellow shared with me the other day was that, as a background, I have 30-something days abstinence, and it's not the first time or the seventh time or whatever time, but it does feel different this time. There's a piece to it where before there was nervous energy to it, and I'm very grateful for the peace and the serenity that I'm feeling for the first time in this abstinence. But what she pointed out to me when I told her I'm a chronic relapser and I come from big numbers, and she was saying that she didn't think people were chronic relapsers so much is that they just hadn't fully accessed the power of their God, of their understanding yet. And I have just taken that and embraced it. It's really given me this beautiful perspective on my malady. And I trust and rely on the recovered fellows because their lanterns are shining the most brightly on the path to recovery. They've been through it. They've done the work. They've seen things that I haven't yet seen, that hasn't been revealed to me yet. Maybe because I wasn't ready, because of fear, mostly, I think, for me. But to be a part of this incredibly spiritual group with the acceptance and the wisdom, it's just an amazing, beautiful thing in my life, and I'm very, very grateful. So thank you so much to everybody, and I pass.
Thank you also, Margaret Ann, and thanks to everybody who has shared and listened and tuned in and did service today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Devorah S. please read a vision for you? Star 1 to unmute, please, Devorah. Penny L.C., maybe you could come on and read that for us. Page 164.
I'd be happy to, Elaine.
Thank you.
One moment. Okay. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall surely be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.